Hello and welcome to the Wednesday podcast. I'm Tom, and today we're thinking about youth and the youth work. So we have Adam and Kitty here. Hello.
Hello.
And Danny and Mary. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
So we last heard from a bit of an update from the youth work, I think about 2 months ago now. So what has been going on since then? What's been going on with Engage and Rooted?
Adam gesturing to us. Thanks, Adam.
I guess I'm not sure I heard the last update, but just as an intro, so Engage is for ages, school years 7 to 9. We normally run on a Sunday morning whilst the sermon's running. Obviously, not to impact that sort of family time as it now is, actually. We decided to follow Rooted's example and run a sort of a discussion point after the sermon. So myself and Adam Pengilly, who helps with Transformed, normally is on their team, catch up with the kid for 20 minutes or so after the sermon, discuss the sermon and just generally catch up, see how they're doing. And then on a Wednesday evening, again, at the same time as Rooted for families that have kids in both, we run our maybe more normal Bible study aspect of Engage. So yeah, that's sort of how we're running it at the moment. Rooted, if you want to add anything
to that. Yeah, so we're doing pretty much the same thing, but obviously for the older group, which is for ages 14 to 18.
So what's that been like? Has it been going well?
Yeah.
For Rooted, yeah, it has. So, trying to think back to what we said a couple of months ago when you interviewed us, Tom. I think as they've got used to lockdown, I think it is a bit wearing on all of us. And I know there have been some articles in the news recently about the effect on, you know, potential effects on mental health of young people, of the lack of social contact. You know, there are times of weariness amongst them, I think it's fair to say. But in terms of the meetings, we've had a really consistent bunch who've been coming along both on a Sunday and on Wednesday. And it's been really good to grow relationships with them and then with each other, I think, even in spite of the circumstances. And we've just finished a series looking at some Psalms. And that's really, I think, chimed in well with our experience, our current experience, some of the Psalms we've been looking at, and just drawing our focus towards God and His character, being consistent in all situations. And at the moment, we've just started a series looking at the fruit of the Spirit. So we jumped in at joy a couple of weeks ago. And kind of going back and doing love now as well, and I'm going to proceed through them using some notes that we picked up from a Contagious Bible Camp that we did a few years ago, which were really good.
Yeah, Engage has gone well. It's gone really well as well. I think a few months ago, when I guess last time you had a sort of an update, Kitty and Adam were driving both Engage and Rooted, I think, just due to work. But since then, I've picked it up and work kids doing it as well, and it's gone really well. We started a series going through Matthew. It's called Head, Heart, and Hands, and it's really helpful way just to take the Bible, take the what we know, I guess, obviously from the head part, so what we understand, what we can learn. And then how we can think about it for ourselves, what difference it can make in our heart. And then also, finally, how we can act that out, how that can change our lives in the way that we live, either just the things that we do or how we what we do with others. So, yeah, it's been a really good way of doing that. It's more, I guess, of a daily devotional than a sort of Bible study as such. But it's been good. What we've done is we've done a session, one session, on the Wednesday, and then we've asked the kids to go away and do 4 of them on their own through the week, and then we'll pick up another one the week after. So that's been a really nice way to sort of slowly try and encourage them to do the, obviously not quite daily, but do their own Bible reading. And it's got a combination of studies, and then also within this, the author, Linda Alcock, I think it's from Contagious as well, one of the leaders, but they, they're trying to encourage them to do this for themselves, so that some of them are just sort of blank questions to sort of say, read it and think about it for yourself. So yeah, it's a really interesting way of doing it. We had thought about trying to do a daily Bible reading as well. So something rooted to doing with Adam, and that they're sort of doing daily readings as well as this. So we thought about that, but I think this has worked really well. Try and have that bridge into to daily reading, and that ability for us to catch up with them. And on a Sunday, we can use a bit of time just to say, how's it going, and see what's going on. But yeah, no, it's really well. And we've had sort of 9 or so every week. And then recently we've had 3 more who've come along. So that's actually worked really well, how they've actually come along. When they started thinking they didn't want to maybe do the Zoom thing, and then actually it has worked, and they've come and they've enjoyed it. So that's been sort of really positive aspect to it. Yeah,
it must be just completely different from meeting in person in the church building on a Sunday. So what have you guys learned as you've approached doing this all online and doing midweek and all these new things?
One of the main things I think is that I think your aim of what you could potentially cover, you have to kind of chop that down a bit. I think it's, I don't know what it is. It's just quite different. As you say, it's very different, like using it as a platform. And just, we never seem to get as much done, or, you know, sometimes the things that you think, oh, we'd be able to probably cover that if we were face to face. Yeah, it just takes a bit more time. And it's just, yeah, it's very different. Via Zoom, but no, it's been lovely seeing them all, and yeah, it's been very nice.
Yeah, I think the first week that I picked up with Kitty, I read through the notes and I thought, you know, this is pretty straightforward. It's a daily devotional, so we did 2, and that was definitely an overreach. So yeah, it's been really good to row that back, just the 1, and actually the daily devotional type style is really nice. Actually, slower pace maybe. Than some of the studies we've done in Engage, just yeah, less questions and just a bit more space to think about it. And it's all a bit slower, I think.
Yeah, and it's been good. It's been really nice, like study. I think it's been good at kind of prompting discussion amongst them, and I suppose challenging for them in ways in which that they can kind of think about applying things in their lives, which I suppose they don't necessarily always do when reading a Bible passage. And I suppose always kind of thinking, actually, how can this change, you know, what can I suppose pray about to God to help me change in my life and apply it. And I suppose that has been difficult as well with, obviously, I suppose things that you'd say, well, usually if I was at school, I'd do X, Y, and Z. So a lot of it is applying to their relationships with their family members, siblings, as you can imagine, being together for a long period of time has its own challenges. So yeah, that's been good.
So we've actually found that it's been quite helpful having extra time, just because on a Sunday morning, you're always conscious of that. When is the hymn? And then I think it's quite difficult sometimes then if you're like, oh no, we do still have a little bit of time, but they're already, their brains have gone and we're finishing now. So I think we found that a bit freeing, and it's been good to have the time. And then with knowing that we're going to see them on a Sunday as well, that you pick up on things that you've talked about before, I would say definitely more than we had been doing previously. So with pre-lockdown, we do try to chat to them and get to know them, but you just don't necessarily have that time and space. So that's been encouraging. I hope that it's been helpful for them as well. They're always very polite. We always say, you know, do you want to keep doing these meetings? And they all sound keen, but I don't know if they're just too kind to us to say no. Kitty, we've had enough, leave us alone now.
But then they didn't keep on showing up, so.
I mean, we have heard the line, yeah, I've got nothing better to do. But that's fine, they're still coming.
I think we've had more time to pray as well. Perhaps we've maybe used the time a bit better for praying for one another, sharing specific things that we can pray for. And I think we've really seen and heard them grow in the way that they're praying and the things that they're praying for, which has been a real encouragement.
I think we've discussed the Adam and I were talking about with Rooted, the prayer and the fact that we can be quite, we remember to ask them what we can pray for them, and we'll go around and we'll, and Adam it's down but then sometimes it's very much, we're just asking them. But then as church family, it feels like it shouldn't just be that direction. So to try and remember to share things that they can pray for us as well. And that then it's so encouraging then they do pray for us. And then when we can share back, like Eleanor went back to school last week, so we talked about that and a few of them prayed and she had a really good time at school, and so we're able to then share that back with them. It's been really lovely. I do feel very encouraged, and seeing some of them come along to First Wednesday as well has been great.
Sounds like a lot of things are different, but there have been a number of encouragements, almost advantages perhaps, of meeting online. What's been the most unexpected positive for you guys as you've entered into this new way of doing things?
I think I'd agree with what Kitty said, in that I think you have more, you feel less rush, less time pressure, I think, because you often have that in a seminar. And as we, for us as well, at the end of it, we have to go and collect children as well. So you don't have that, which is nice. The kids are in bed, so that's great. So I think that has, as you said, that has been something that I probably wouldn't have thought about, and that has been a positive. That you just have more time for other kind of chat and kind of building relationships, which has been a real blessing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, doing the Sunday morning, something slightly different on a Sunday morning. And as I mentioned, the studies are slightly slower paced and they're different. But I think it's been nice. It's not been nice doing something. We've thought about it as a group, and it engaged, trying to make things a bit more applied. The tendency is to sort of get the passage. You ask the sort of, In the context that we're now doing it, the head questions, you sort of explain the passage, and then things have taken a bit longer, and then, you know, that hard stop comes when some of the younger kids pour into our room or something, and you haven't quite finished it, and you haven't got the application bit, or you haven't prayed. I don't know, there's things that actually possibly, I might not say it, but, you know, you can argue whether more important, but equally important, but, you know, the application bits actually we don't get to. So having that time, slower pace, and yeah, just the ability to actually just take a couple more minutes, answer a question, and end in a nice relaxed way, rather than although sometimes Zoom is counting down, so there's a slight panic to not get cut off. But yeah, no, it has been nice. We're talking, I suppose, unexpected advantages, but there have been, and we mentioned we've got a couple of them that come along on to Engage now, who go to Transformed but normally go to St Bart's, so can now sort of take part in St Bart's stuff, I guess, and our stuff, so that's lovely. But there are others who don't, are no longer able to participate because of Zoom, either because they can't for whatever reason, or don't really like the technical aspect of it.
All those technical difficulties, I generally will have something, a glitch per session probably.
Yeah, so I think, although it has been very good and it is lovely and there are positives, I guess there are some kids who don't come along who used to come along, and so it's probably worth prayer for, if people can, that people, you know, we don't forget them and think it is going great. And, yeah, just spend some time, certainly if it's going to go on for a long time.
One of our young people, in terms of unexpected advantages, one of our young people has just moved with her family across the other side of the world for a few months, and of course there's the time zone differences, so not able to join for the midweek session, but is able to join on a Sunday morning just to keep in touch as well, so that's a benefit.
So how should we be praying for our young people and for these ministries during this time?
I think I was really struck this week. I read this article about just the potential impact for young people, particularly with sort of mental health and well-being, and the effect of the isolation, not seeing their friends, and I was just, concerned for our young people, really. Pray for them, and that they would make the most of the opportunities that they do have, and that they would be okay. And we hear quite a lot of, from the older ones, quite a lot of concern over their studies, and the uncertainty whether they're going to get any school contact before the summer, and what exams, how they're going, what it's going to look like, the impact for next year. So I guess prayer for them on that.
Yeah, trying to make decisions on universities without being able to go for open days, and whether, you know, courses are going to start as normal next year, and all those sorts of things.
There are a lot of things for them. But I think I'd also really value prayer for us as leaders, that we never want to be hypocritical in what we're encouraging them to do. I think, you know, we talk a lot about prayer, about Bible reading, like personal Bible reading rather than just the studies, and that it would just be horrendous if we're encouraging that but we're not doing it ourselves, and that if we're just stagnating in our faith or growing loads of thorns and no fruit. So yes, please pray for protection for us, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the same, similar for Engage. I think, yeah, it's worth praying for the kids, as you say, in the sort of time that they have, and really what they face over the summer, I guess, and uncertainties, and I know sometimes they may or may not voice them, but they will be feeling it, so certainly prayer for them. And then, yeah, I guess just continue prayer for them to carry on doing this. As Kitty and I said earlier, are they just coming along because they sort of have to, or because they want to? So prayer, I guess, for us as well, that we don't, yeah, just sort of say, oh, you know, we've done this now for a few months, let's carry on. That just to, yeah, keep thinking, actually, is this the right thing? Are we doing the right, you know, are we engaging with them in the right way? What more can we do, or what else can we do for those who aren't able to attend? Maybe nothing, maybe they're happy, maybe parents are happy, but yeah, I guess just for us to keep thinking about that.
Yeah, I think definitely wisdom as we look ahead, planning, as Danny says, what we do, whether we just keep on rolling or whether we think, do we need something different? And as we're always, I guess, thinking about when we have to plan, you know, the next study series as you're getting towards the end of one, and you think, you know, what would be helpful, maybe something really different to try and approach things in a different way, or that would have wisdom as we think about that, and would be really alert to the opportunities of things that they want to discuss more deeply. I think that's something that sometimes you just really suddenly realize that there's a bigger question that you hadn't realized was there before. So I think that we don't just kind of go, right, we've planned a study, this is what we're going to do, but instead be ready to listen and react to what they're saying and asking about.
Mm. I think that's what probably going to be one of the difficult things, if you wanted to have a kind of slightly more private discussion maybe with one of the young people, that's quite difficult obviously to do in a group, or to kind of pick that out, you know, without kind of being able to have a quiet conversation to one side. So I think a prayer for that those opportunities would somehow still happen, or, you know, I suppose that would still be apparent to us as well.
But yeah, I guess as well, just prayer just that they carry on. It's been really encouraging. We mentioned we're getting more contact with them because we're, you know, getting some time on the Sunday, and then on the Wednesday and Fridays, if they get, you know, people seen them then. And then actually, yeah, quite a few of them attended the sort of first Sunday, first Wednesday prayer meeting as well. So that was nice. And so actually, yeah, it's sort of that's an unexpected positive, probably, that actually they're used to doing something on a Wednesday. So actually the idea of coming to the church prayer meeting, as we would consider them to be part of the church family, was not weird for them, and they came. So that'd be prayer that they sort of keep doing that, and that we can encourage that sort of integration in the wider church family. That'd be really great.
No, thank you all for sharing those things. We should remember to pray for you guys as well, with the regular commitment and the time you're putting in. We're really thankful. So thank you for that. And yeah, for everyone out there, please do be praying for these guys and the others who lead the youth groups. Yeah, thanks for joining.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Tom.